previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
I'm just happy to be asked back.
You're the first one, Chris.
To be honest, at this stage in my career, anybody who wants me back after one appearance, I take as a major victory.
Yes.
Amazing.
Well, we were just discussing, you're the first big we've had back on the podcast.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, huge. Take that, Braun.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast.
On the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
Happy New Year's Eve Eve.
Did I say that right? New Year's Eve Eve.
Did I say
yeah.
that? Yeah, I said that right, right? All right.
Yeah.
Well, Roxy, you miss me yet? I'm just kidding.
More than you could possibly know.
Yeah, but today's Roxy Fest, so you can't be that sad, right?
I know, but it would be better if you were here too.
Well, that's true, but I'm going to have a very mini Chuck Fest right after we do this. episode 2, Oz, the Great and Flavorful, is picking me up. We're going to some pancake place that's his favorite. Now, before we get any weirdness, he did, of course, offer to have me over to Emerald City Catering for dinner. And he said, oh, he'll make me whatever I want. And I was like, well, I definitely want to do that at some point. But because of my schedule here, I was like, you know what? It's probably better if I get out there sooner than later. But let's get to the matter at hand, because you've got a lot going on today. So you have two shows, then Roxy Fest, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right.
I think we're going to go to McHale's this time.
Oh, okay. Mixing it up a little bit.
Because the new year is happening, we've got, I think, an influx of tourists who are probably going to be in Times Square, in the days to come. So they're already arriving. And I just figured this way we kind of avoid the Times Square
that's true.
Area.
It's a little off the beaten path. Plus, it's closer to the apartment. So that's good for you, too.
It is closer to home. So that'll be nice for me as well.
Yeah. And McHale's is nice. I think we went there with Dina and Damascus and Claire once.
Claire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
It's a nice place. It's okay.
It's
well,
basically Hurley's, but on 51st,
yeah,
51st well, Street. So.
Yes, exactly. Yep. All right. Well, Roxy, we have to start with this. And I don't want to say we apologize, because we didn't really, I guess our episodes just didn't mesh up and we didn't get any information about this. I wasn't even sure if we were doing this again, but we did have the Little Elves again this year. And they did a holiday blast, I guess, or something like that, they're calling it, where they did a one day thing. And it was this past Wednesday, I believe, because I was a little late to the party, but we did make a donation on behalf of the Loyal Littles podcast. But it was literally like 15 minutes after midnight Central Time, because I was traveling all day to Milwaukee. And boy, it was quite the night checking in, which we're going to get to that. but we did want to say a very huge thank you to all the Littles who generously gave to the Rocco's Warriors charity. Roxy, we raised $3,105.11. So,
wow,
we love the
that's
five and
amazing.
11. Yeah, it
I
is.
I know.
and I bet you by now it's gone up. I got this figure, I think, yesterday, and I bet it's probably gone up a little bit, but I think that was the Wednesday total.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
So, thank you to everyone who contributed to that. Thank you. We have a ton of more thank yous, but we also want to get to, we have a quick shout out to Charlie Warren's family. Now, I wanted to start with this one because, I mean, everyone got great Christmas gifts, I'm sure. We're going to get into what we got and what your favorites were and stuff like that. But Charlie Warren's family bought him a Chuck and Roxy shirt, not from us. We don't sell them, okay? They had this made, and it has the QR code on the bottom.
Yep.
It says Chuck and Roxy number. I forget what number he is off the top of my head. And then it has the QR code underneath it, which is amazing. And it works. I tried it.
Wow.
I got it on my laptop, got the QR code, scanned it. It went right to it. That's so great. So bravo. Please, Charlie, tell your family, bravo. That was amazing.
Yes. That was a great, great gift.
Yeah. Oh, and they also got him a couple of those bracelets. Not like the ones from the TK show. These say La Cheeserie on one side, but then it says episode whatever he is on the other side, I believe. So just bravo all around. Those gifts, that's just amazing. So, all right, let's move on. So let's get the shout outs and the thank yous taken care of. We have a big one from, and I'm supposed to read it just like this, quote, a gift from the National Tuna Melt Foundation. Okay. Now, if you know, you know. That's all I'm going to say. But they used the code, and it was very, very generous of them. They sent us a one-time donation over on Venmo. That was really nice. Adam Jamison sent a one-time donation through a Christmas card. We got Christmas cards from the Conleys, Bob Purcell, and Roxy, did you see this one? We got a Christmas card from Mr. and Mrs. Adam Ferrara. Now, if you ever told me that we would get a Christmas card from Adam Ferrara someday, I'd be like, you're out of your freaking mind, which was nice. Now, in our defense, we sent him one first. So it was probably one of those, you know, obligatory. Is that the word?
Obligatory.
Obligatory? Is that it?
Obligatory.
What's obligatory? When you're obligated. What do you mean? When you're obligated?
Yeah, it's obligatory.
That sucks. I think it should be obligatory.
No, it's obligatory.
Obligatory. But obligatory, try to say that. That's pretty good, right? Obligatory.
It's not really the word.
But it's a new word. I'm making it a new word. So, all right. Okay. All right. So we also want to give shout outs to Debbie Mittman, episode 67, and Jonathan Shapinski, episode 230, for also guessing correctly Joy to the World for Sid's song. But it was after, I forget, I don't remember. Oh, Brad Phillips won. But those answers did come in, though, before we dropped the episode announcing the winners. Now, I thought this was funny, too, how we got a couple. I won't mention names. We got a couple that came in after we announced the winner in the episode. So clearly, I'd like to think that they just didn't hear the episode yet. So anyway, all right. So I know we teased this last time about our, you know, New Year's resolutions. But Roxy, I decided we're going to tease it more because it's not New Year's yet. It's not New Year's. It's not even New Year's Eve yet. That's tomorrow and the next day. So our next episode, this way we'll have some time to think about it. We don't have to rush into anything, so hopefully we can keep to it because we've got still lots to talk about. We just celebrated Christmas and all that stuff, and we didn't talk about gifts at all. I mean, not that that's the important part, but what would you? We kind of do this every year. What was your favorite gift?
Oh, gosh. I mean, Chuck, you really always hit it out of the park, to be honest.
Well, let's not go that far, but for the record, it doesn't have to be for me.
No, I know, but okay, so, well, basically, you got me... I don't know if we talked about this the last time you did this for me, but you got me a cotton candy maker, another one.
I did.
Because the last one you got me...
was a piece of crap.
Was,
just say it what it is. It was a piece of crap. I did not read any online reviews like an idiot, and it was a piece of crap. Now...
But this one is a Brookstone.
Yeah,
and
but
Brookstone is a pretty decent brand.
Well, look, it could still be a piece of crap. We're going to find out. We haven't used it yet. You haven't used it yet, right?
No, okay. Not yet.
But I will say that I did read the Yelp reviews on this one, and they were far better. I think the lowest rating was 4.7 out of 5. So that's a good start.
Yeah.
Because I was so angry about the last one, and I started reading the reviews, and they were all 1.4s. And I was like, I'm an idiot.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. No, you're not an idiot. But, I mean, okay. And then moving on, I'm looking at it right now. You got me an organizer caddy for our coffee table.
Roxy, actually, technically, that was to both of us from Santa, I believe.
Oh, sorry. Excuse
yeah,
that, me.
I can't take credit for that. So, yeah.
But it's working out really well. I like it a lot.
I do, too. I even said maybe we should go get another one for the other side of the table because we have so much crap on that table.
I know, but it's such a small table. I think another one will be too much.
Yeah.
But that was great. And you got me a craft, arts and crafts, to decorate and paint my own Christmas tree ornaments. Because I'm always talking about wanting personalized ornaments.
Well, I listened, as I like to say.
You listen. Exactly.
Did we talk about one? Did we talk about the other one?
Which other one?
The one I bought.
Oh, no. I don't think we did.
We might have. We might have mentioned it.
We might have.
But
you had me open that when we first started decorating.
Yeah, that was right after Thanksgiving. I had her open this. I just got... these ads come up on Facebook all the time, and it was one that said, give us your picture, we'll turn it into an ornament. So I did one from our wedding. So I thought that was nice.
And it's beautiful. Yeah.
But these, we are trees, and we can paint them or color them, whatever we want to do.
Yep.
And just make them our own. So that'll be fun, too.
Yeah.
So,
And some shampoo.
Yeah, okay. Well, got Roxy, I said, shampoo. What's your favorite? I didn't say list everything you got.
What's my favorite? I don't know. I mean, they're all so great, and you listen, and I'm so lucky.
All right. Not kind of what I
was
going for,
favorite?
Roxy, but okay. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't started the book yet, but Roxy got me the Barbara Streisand book, so that's going to keep me occupied for
a long time.
It's a large book. It sure is. I'm still having to finish Harpo Speak, so I'm going to do that first.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, because I am enjoying that. It's taking me a lot longer than I hoped, but we'll get into that next episode probably. Should we talk about my travel?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So as most of you know, I'm in Milwaukee now, and I don't even know. It's kind of a funny story, but it's a horrible story. So everything was fine. Let's just fast forward to me. The flights are fine. Everything was, well, not really, but I get to the hotel.
Because you had to leave me.
Well, right, of course. But I mean, I get to the hotel. And I didn't realize this. I get to this hotel and I check in and it's like very old school. And I could tell that right away by walking in. The front desk had like a set of mailboxes behind it where they put the keys in it, like the old days.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
It's a very cute place, but it's very old. It's very historic, I guess, is how they get away with saying like, oh, we haven't updated anything, but you'll love it.
Yeah, and, sure.
Which
sure.
is like my least favorite kind of hotel to stay in. but anyway, so they grab keys and they're like, okay, you go down the hallway and then it's on the third floor and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, the staircase is, and I said, well, where's the elevator? And they're like, oh, we don't have an elevator. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have an elevator? They're like, I'm like, wait, so I have to lug these suitcases up three flights? And she goes, well, technically it's only two flights. I'm like, okay, fair enough. But I was kind of angry because I specifically packed heavy so that I could save the company some money by not checking two bags. So I only had to check one bag. Yeah, that was a mistake. So my second carry-on was basically almost as heavy as my big suitcase, I felt like, because that had all the podcast equipment in, you know, and I didn't want to check that anyway under the plane because they throw it around, you know. So I get to the staircase and I'm like, okay, I'll just bring my backpack and my one carry-on and then I'll come back down for the big suitcase. So I climb up two flights of stairs, get to the room. I'm going to try to do this as quick as I can, Roxy. Key doesn't work. I've tried it so many different ways. There's two locks, tried it in both locks. I even did that trick because these are like real keys. Okay. This is not like one of those key cards.
A key card.
This is a real key because I basically had to sign my life away when I checked in because like if you lose your key, they charge you money to get it. You know. Yeah, of course. Because they have to replace the whole thing, you know, or exactly. So I even tried that trick where you pull it out just a little bit and then turn it again. And sometimes that makes it work. You know, you trick it. That's how I'd say.
Yeah, didn't work. Sure.
So I go downstairs. Of course, I'm a little annoyed because it's been a long day. I didn't get in till like 9:30 at night, okay? And she's like, hi, what's wrong? And I said, key doesn't work. And she's like, really? And I'm like, no, I'm joking. I'm just standing, you know, I wanted to come back to talk. You know, I'm like, no, it doesn't work. And I'm thinking like, did I do something wrong? And she's like, oh, well, okay, well, let me see. Let me go back with you and I'll see if I can get it to work. I said, okay. So we go back, we get to the edge of the staircase, and she was nice. I have to give her, she was like, well, do you want me to carry one of these bags up? And I looked at her, I said, ma'am, no offense. I said, I ain't carrying nothing more up these flights of stairs until I know I can get into the room. And she's like, oh, okay. So we go upstairs. She can't open it either. I'm like, okay, great. I said, you know, I was actually thrilled. I'm like, at least I know it wasn't me and I'm just being stupid and tired and just couldn't get in. She's like, wow, this is really weird. This has never happened before. I'm like, okay. In my head, I'm thinking, I find this very hard to believe. We go back downstairs. I'm getting my steps in, though, that's for sure. And she goes to the front desk, and she finds, like, two other keys for this room, sets of keys. And then she gets another set of keys for a backup room because she says, well, just in case none of these work, I'll put you in a different room. I said, okay, great. And she's like, and I also have my master. So this way I can get in no matter what. I said, okay, great. Whatever you need to do. I just want to get in the room. So I go upstairs. And so when we get to the edge of the stairs this time, I'm thinking, well, this is a pretty much guaranteed slam dunk. So I'm going to bring my other smaller suitcase up with me again. So I lug it up two flights of stairs again. This is the second time. And we get to the door. Doesn't open. She tries the two other keys. None of them open the room. And I'm like,
whoa.
And she's just like, oh, this is embarrassing. This has never happened before. I'm like, okay, whatever. She's like, well, I brought the other set of keys. I'm like, okay, great. It's the room next to this one. She goes to open the door. It won't open. I'm like, are you kidding? And she's even like, are you kidding me? What is happening right now? So she goes back to the first room, uses her master key, and it opens. Okay, so now I can kind of see the room. Got to be honest, I'm not super impressed, but I'm like, okay, it is what it is. But she's like, I'm like, well, at least we can get in. She's like, yeah, but I can't leave you here without keys. And I'm like, oh. Okay. And I'm like, well, what are we going to do? She's like, well, we kind of have to go back downstairs and find a different room for you. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, so, okay. So I just lug this suitcase up here again for no reason. So I go back downstairs with her, leaving everything downstairs. And we go back to the front desk. And now it's getting out of control. It's like Keystone Cops. They have to call managers. They don't know what to do with me and blah, blah, this. The other thing I'm really annoyed is when I first checked in, found out it was on the third floor, I begged them. And I said, is there not a room on the first floor you can put me in? They're like, no, because this is the theater housing and it has to be a specific block of rooms. And that I get. And meanwhile, I'm trying to be calm about this, Roxy, because, you know, I'm representing the theater company who, you know what, they might get this housing for free. I don't even know what the deal is, okay? Because it might be a trade-off with program credit or something like that. I found out later that that's not the case, but doesn't matter. I'm just trying to be not like, you know, if this was my own self, I probably would have gotten a little like more angry. But I'm trying to be nice because I'm trying to set a good impression for this company I've never worked for, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get him back to the, because that kind of happened to me on tour.
I remember.
One of the hotels called my bosses in New York and they were like, yeah, so this jerk that had, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they finally decide to put me in a very different room. There's more to that part of the story where they said I could stay on the second floor, but I had to pay $10 of my own money because the theater wasn't going to cover that per day, $10 per day. Mm-hmm. Come to find out that the room is identical. And I'm like, well, what am I paying the $10 for? And they were like, well, it's one less flight of stairs that you have to climb every day. And I'm like, well, that's just stupid. I'm like, I'm not going to pay $10 a day for one less flight of stairs. I thought it was like an updated room, you know, like with carpeting and anyway. Now we go up the three flights again, or the two flights, get to my next room. This one finally opens. I'm in. It's all good. But you want to know what the funniest thing? The room is very mediocre. I'm not going to throw out names. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus here. But because this just made me laugh, and I was on the phone with you, Roxy, when this happened.
Yeah, you were.
Littles. Guess what I did? I opened the closet door. Guess what's in there? Not one, but two robes. So I just
in a two bathrobe situation.
I am in a two bathrobe situation, but let me tell you, Littles, not all two bathrobe situations are created equal. That's what I'm going to say. That's probably going to be the name of this episode because I just laughed because Roxy, you know, I was really upset about this because
yeah, I know.
I don't want to go too far into it, but the bathroom was not clean. I mean, literally the first thing I did was go across the street to the grocery store. I bought Comet. I bought just cleaning supplies so I could clean the place. And now I would take a bath in that bathtub, but I sent Roxy pictures. It was not pretty.
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, honestly, I feel like maybe at the end of your stay, you can be like, hey, just so you know, this was unacceptable.
I did drop it a little bit to my assistant at the theater and the general manager. And so they said, well, you should definitely tell our company manager. They definitely need to know this. And I was like, okay, look, I don't want to be, you know, because you first time working for the company, you don't want to come across as high maintenance and all that stuff.
No, of course.
It's just tricky, but it's like, oh.
But the hotel should be cleaning their rooms between guests.
Yeah.
And they should be cleaning their bathtubs regularly and all of that.
This like, was not, this I hadn't mean, been this cleaned was, in a while.
This was disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a bathtub that gross in a very, very long time.
Yeah. But Roxy, we're going to have a Meet the Littles guest where I'm going to meet up with Oz. It's all going to be good. Roxy Fest is going to happen. So,
Chuck Ranch is over.
Yes.
We can move on.
No, I'd like to. I think I did that pretty calmly, though.
I think you handled it well. I agree. I'm proud of you.
There were moments when I was doing the math in my head and thinking, like, if I just get my own housing here, can I still do this job?
Sure.
And like, I was
sure.
Like, yeah. So anyway. Sure. But, all right. Well, let's do that. Great Meet the Littles guest. Roxy, sort of another 518er. So this was exciting. Lots of hometown references from him, and but we're going to get to it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
The Loyal Littles Podcast, in your ear, on the WTFC Podcast Network. Here's Chuck and Roxy.
I'll be there when you go gliding by. I'll be there, though I don't know why. I'll be there, honey, even though you've done me wrong.
We are being played in this episode by Mark Thacker, and this song is called Gliding By. Now, if you like what you hear, the best place to find all of Mark's stuff is on his website. It's marksthacker.wix.com. You can also give him a follow on Facebook, and he also has a YouTube music channel. Just search Mark Thacker Music, and we'll put all that in the show notes for you. And as always, we will play the full song, Gliding By, at the end of the podcast.
Me the eye, kiss my cheek, and then you said goodbye. Brush me off like an old horse fly. Don't give me no reason, but still I try. I'll be there nipping.
All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
Meet the Littles.
And Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
We just talked off air for a good 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Blast from my past.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe we'll get into that because it's where he's originally from. Not a 518er right now, but originally it sounds like. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into all that. Please welcome to the podcast, Jim Bankert. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you, Chuck and Roxy, for having me on your show. It's a big honor. It's great.
Pleasure's ours. Pleasure's ours. And listen, I mean, like I said, we've already been chatting off air for a while, and blast from my past, but we'll get to all that, I think. Because you just started asking questions about my high school and Proctor's Theater and Schenectady, and it was just like, holy cow, it was great. But let's take it way back. Let's meet you and introduce yourself to all the loyal littles out there.
Yes, I'm definitely a 518er. I was born in Utica. Very young age, moved to Schenectady. My parents bought a house in East Glenville, a suburb of Schenectady. Grew up there. Then my freshman year, I first moved south to college. I moved south and I went to American University for my freshman and sophomore years here in Washington. Got to know Washington. Then I moved back in my junior and senior years. I went back upstate to Albany. Back then, it was known as SUNY Albany. It's also Albany State. I think it's called UAlbany now. Got a degree in English. Then I came back south, went to University of Virginia. The plan to get a PhD in English and teach at the college level. After I got my master's, though, I thought I'd been in school long enough, made my way up to Washington again, got a job with the federal government, got married, moved to Northern Virginia, had a daughter. After 39 and a half years in the federal government, I retired, and my wife and I and my daughter still live in Northern Virginia. So that's about it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just it.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, wow, you moved around so much. I've jotted down already so many things. Now, I don't know if we can get into the federal government. What did you do exactly? Are you allowed to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. It was actually, I had a fantastic job. I held a few minor jobs. The last 20 years, I worked as a hearing representative for the Department of Labor. The federal government self-insures their workers' comp cases. And if you had to file a workers' compensation claim with the federal government, if your claim was turned down or if you got something that you disagreed with in a decision, you could request a hearing. And I was a hearing representative, and I held hearings on workers' compensation claims. And for the first 15 years from 1985 to about around 1990, that involved traveling all over the country. It would be 9 trips a year, but it'd only be a week at a time. So it was like mini vacations and mostly the big cities. My favorite city is San Francisco. I probably took a dozen trips to San Francisco. I took a lot of trips to New York City, which I love. I couldn't live there, but I like visiting. And my favorite spot in New York is the Cloisters. I love visiting there all the time. Boston, you know, all the big cities, but also went to a lot of little cities. I got to visit family all over the country. Went to Montana. Oh, I got a trip to Hawaii, Alaska.
Whoa.
And then I got a big trip to, this was before they stopped doing it, I got a trip to Guam and Tokyo.
Wow.
And what happened was, though, this made us hearing representatives very happy, but it made everybody else unhappy because we were flying around the country spending all this money. So I don't know if you remember the George Clooney movie Up in the Air.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's what happened to us. They said, well, why aren't these people holding their hearings over the phone? And so they switched to telephone hearings. It was gradual.
Oh, no.
But then by the early 2000s, it was mostly telephone hearings. And of course, then I retired before the pandemic, but that closed off. Everything was done by telephone by that point. So
wow.
So I had a good run for about 15 years. I got to, you know, just visited a lot of states and everything. Chuck, I think you said you went to every state except one. I've been to every state except Wyoming. I haven't never been to Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I really,
it
really was enjoyable. Hopefully someday, you know, I love to go to Yellowstone. My sister and her husband just went to Yellowstone. So that's future plans, you know, what to say, you know. It was a really enjoyable job.
Yeah.
And until we stopped, then went to telephone hearings. I became a supervisor, actually became head of the department for a couple years, which I'm not really comfortable supervising people. I wasn't the best supervisor. But then I retired and everything worked out okay.
Oh, good.
Huh. All right, well, let's go back. It doesn't surprise me. You hate the city. You like to visit. We're trying to get out ourselves.
Yep.
You like the Cloisters,
well, no,
though.
I don't hate the city. I love to visit. I couldn't live there.
Right.
Well, that's what I kind of, okay, all right, that's kind of what I meant. We're the same way.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I have like 5 nieces and nephews who actually live there and enjoy it, but it's just so expensive.
And it's just the canyons and everything. But, oh, you know, like the theaters. And I'm not a musicals person, but even if I was there, there are things that are less priced. But, you know, it's so expensive. Like here in Washington, I've been a season ticket holder for 2 Shakespeare theaters for 25 years. So I don't know if you could do that in Washington. You know, all the museums are free. And I'm a big bicyclist, so I bicycle all the place in Washington. It's a great city for bicycling. I know you've talked about coming down here. It's a great area. You do have to get used to the humidity in the summer, although, you know, New York summers, I don't think are that much different anymore, you know.
No.
Not at all.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Although it probably is a little bit because it's probably warmer down there, but it gets bad here.
Yeah, I can tell the difference. But even, you know, even in upstate New York, I mean, I don't know about you, Chuck, when we were growing up, nobody even thought to have air conditioning.
No.
It wouldn't even enter your head. But now every single house that's built up there has air conditioning.
Yep.
It's just kind of sad.
No, I remember, you know, we had just the box fans. That was all we had.
Yeah, we had one air conditioner box fans, like you said, when I was growing up for years. And it was like we thought nothing of it because it's all we knew.
Yeah. Matter of fact, my senior year, my graduation present from Ichabod Crane High School was my mom and dad had then that year decided to get air conditioners for the house. So they had one in the kitchen-esque area, and then they had one down in their bedroom, and then my present was one for my bedroom.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had it for that summer, but of course, then I left for college, and you couldn't bring it to college. Mm-hmm. So then I had it every time I'd come home to visit and stuff like that, at least. No, you're right. We know.
Yeah, we did have one air conditioner in our house. My dad had allergies, so he did have an air conditioner put in my parents' bedroom. But the rest of the house, nothing. And then, since my sister, who lives in Queensbury, she's the only house in the neighborhood without central air conditioning. They just don't like it. Although their daughter, we had a really hot summer a couple of years ago, and their daughter just said, "Look, I'm leaving unless you put an air conditioning unit in my room."
Yeah.
And so there's one air conditioning unit in the house, and it's in Kayla's room. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. It does make you think, though. And then later in life, I learned, I guess, that trick. Apparently, if you put a bowl of ice in front of the fan, the box fan, it like blows cooler air on you. Someone told me that, so I believe them. Probably like an idiot.
Well, I never tried that. You come down here to Washington and everything is air conditioned. You know, you can't live down here without air conditioning.
Right.
So it's just a different way. Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that. Now I'm like, but they did, right?
Yeah, they did.
I mean,
old days, they must have, but I don't know how they did it.
Right, yeah. No, that's what I mean. It's like it's truly unbelievable. A couple things off the list here that I wrote down before we take a break. Now, it's not SUNY Albany anymore? I thought it was still SUNY Albany. You're saying
I think that might be the official name, but no, now it's called U Albany. Matter of fact, I got my wife bought me a T-shirt from all the schools that I attended.
Oh.
And the one that came from Albany says it's purple, you know, and it's called U Albany. It might be officially called SUNY Albany, but I think they tried to get, even when I was leaving, they thought it was kind of a clunky way of putting things. And, you know, it was Albany State before that, and they tried to get rid of it. I think it's called U Albany now.
Is this because of Binghamton? Is this because they get Bing now? Bing? Is that what they're called? So we have to be U Albany. You know, it has to be like some fancy different name. That's funny.
Right, right.
Interesting.
Yeah. We just did a run in the, we got crushed by South Dakota State, but we made a run in the, we made the semifinals in the bowl champ. There's a bowl championship series, and I can't remember what it is. It's like, it used to be 2A.
Uh-huh.
You know, North Dakota used to win every year. But Albany made a nice run.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of teams and sports like that, what is your favorite sport? What's your favorite teams and stuff like that?
Oh, it's a little complicated. Growing up, when I was a little kid, I was a huge baseball fan. I had, you know, I'm 70, so I went through the baseball card phase. And the funny thing is, growing up in New York, my dad was a huge Yankees fan. He passed it on to my brothers. My mom still watches every single Yankee game at 93. I guess I was just a contrarian. I could never be a Yankee fan. I don't know why. Then I kind of fell out of the fandom for baseball, kind of picked up on football. And then what got me back into baseball was, of course, this was all before at least Roxy's time, 1975, Game 6. I still remember I was in graduate school. I was supposed to be doing a paper on Milton, and I said, screw that, I'm watching this game.
Yeah.
That was the Bernie Carbo, and then the Carlton Smith pulling the ball, and that got me back into baseball. And then I came down here, got to Washington, and Tom Boswell, such a great writer. I discovered Bill James, and then I adopted the Orioles. And they were like, it's kind of funny, they were like the David to the Goliath Yankees. So
sure.
I really liked
sure.
that thing. And, of course, we have the Ripken years. They won a World Series. Of course, then I had to stop rooting for them because it was clear that Peter Angelos, the owner, was doing everything to keep a team out of Washington, mm-hmm. which I really resented. And, of course, then we got the Nationals, and that's been my team ever since. Of course, we won the World Series. It was the high point of my fandom. So I would say I root for all the Washington teams, but the only team that I'm a huge fan of is the Nationals. I watch all sports. I like all sports. I think my favorite is football.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, I'm worried that the Dodgers may have just broken baseball altogether.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand how a team can spend $1 billion
on
in two days.
Yep.
On two players, and their total payroll must be close to $2 billion.
Well, there's been all these stats already about how that payroll is the same for those two players is the same that the Pirates have had for like 25 years or something like that. Something
exactly.
crazy.
That's terrible.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's same. I heard the Oakland A's, but it's the same thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. I think that's
yeah.
what, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But the weird thing is that it's the cheapest $700 million contract because Ohtani deferred all his
yeah.
money.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, the reason we could never sign like Bryce Harper and some of our free agents is because Boris would never allow deferred money because he knew it actually decreased the dollar amount
of
the contract. It was like cheating a little bit.
Right.
So what can I say? I'm kind of because I was happy about last year. The shortening of the games went much faster.
Yeah.
Yep. I really enjoyed that. Texas won. They had never won a World Series.
Yep.
I was kind of excited. And now it's like. Oh, brother. You
yeah.
know, a $2 billion baseball team. What are you going to do?
Well, I've said, you know, I was like, well, I think the commissioner's going to have to step in and do something. But people are like, well, the players union would never allow it and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, okay, but if you lose the entire West Coast fandom, because why would you go? Like, if you're the Giants, the Seattle, you're like, well, we're just going to get killed. We're never going to make the playoffs. We're never going to be in the, you know, it's like, why should we even bother going to games? I mean, then.
You know why? Because, and Jeff Passan on Tony's show mentioned this, the Dodgers want to make every person in Japan wearing a Dodger hat and a t-shirt, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think they're willing to swap one for the other. But I agree with you. I'm really depressed about that. And I'm also depressed in that there's probably only three or four teams that he can even challenge them for the next decade. And I'm afraid your team and my team aren't two of those.
Yeah, right. No, that's exactly it.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a little depressing.
All right,
yeah.
Well, let's get undepressed, but let's take a break. Let's take a quick break, right. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Can we try it once and say Chip and Reggie?
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Doxy and Keith Ammerman.
New Year's Day, our guy Mr. Tony has himself an old guy ceremony. For us this stuff has surely gone away. Hey, 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 New Year's Day, a new checkbook register. Everyone says, what's a checkbook register? That ATM, he'll never come your way. Hey, 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 New Year's Day, nothing could be wronger. He'll still write checks at least a little longer. Some will say he's a bit headstrong, sure, that's our Tony. Browse about, it's a getting closer. Do you take checks? Sorry, that's a no, sir. And just like that, he'll simply fade away. Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy, we have Jim Pankert with us.
Yep.
Who, you know, when we take a break. Come to find out, he has some major bone to pick with me.
Yeah.
Should we tease that?
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, clearly he's here with us, so.
Thankfully,
I know,
Chuck.
Right? So, I mean, clearly, but he literally said, I almost shut you off and we're never going to listen to you again.
You better watch yourself,
so,
Chuck.
So, I know. Well, wait, aren't we a team here, Chuck and Roxy?
I mean,
all right, let's tease it. We're going to get to that. First, we need to, the whole reason we're here is you're a little.
Right.
How did you become a little?
Yes.
We never touched upon that.
Oh, okay. I like these people said, I've been listening to Tony for 20 years. I've been listening to Tony for 25 years. I've been a little, or I guess what I call myself, a proto little for 45 years.
Whoa.
I moved to Washington before Tony got here. I got here in 77. He got here in 78. And I've always got the on my front doorstep, wherever I've been in this area, I've always gotten the Washington Post. I still get the physical paper today. Just kind of, you know, it's just something you got to do is read the paper in the morning.
Yeah.
And so literally, I've always read the sports and the style sections cover to cover. So literally, I've read every single thing that Tony has written for the Post, and I've always been a big fan from day one. So that's goes back a long way.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think anyone's been able to identify when we became littles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were the fans of Tony Kornheiser, and then there's littles.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, yes, I know. And it's interesting. I refer to the fans of his style section as proto-littles.
Mm-hmm.
It, of course, we didn't have the internet and everything in those days, but his style section was so popular. And I don't think anybody's talked about this. I mentioned it when I mentioned, you know, when I met you at the Jingle Fest. I don't think anybody has mentioned this. He actually gave a talk at the Smithsonian. It was in 2001 because he had announced that he was going to stop his style section and he was going to move on to a new project. And it turned out the new project was PTI. We didn't know about that.
Yeah.
But he gave a talk at the Smithsonian and I was there. He introduced Michael and Elizabeth. I think Michael's still in high school. Elizabeth might have been starting college. And it was great. He gave a little talk and everything and it was jam-packed. And I think, you know, it was just what would be become littles because we were all fans of the style section mostly. And of course, there were sports fans there too. And the interesting thing is someone asked him, and I think I can't imagine Tony taking questions from the audience. So
right.
I think someone wrote some prepared questions for him. But someone asked him, and this was fascinating. I thought, now, if you're fans of the style section, there's one thing you know. You know, it's all about Tony's life. It's his Wilbon, Jeannie is Nancy, and Man About Town, Chip Muldoon is sports writer Norman Chad. Much to their chagrin, his kids, and of course, most famously, his father. But all of us know that he never mentions his wife in any of his style articles. And someone asked him why, and he said, as I recall, 20 years ago, he said that he, of course, he was a sports writer in Long Island, and he finally got a chance to write a non-sports article, and he wrote what become sort of the style section, was like, you know, a slice of life. I don't know if it's featured Carol or she was just mentioned, and he was very excited about it. He ran home. It was published in the paper, and he was very proud of it, and he ran home, and he said, well, what do you think? And she said, I don't like it. I don't want people reading about me. And then Tony said, okay. And that is why through all, every single, you never, there's no mention of Carol. So that is kind of interesting.
Well, and Elizabeth's kind of the same way too. She doesn't.
Oh yeah. Well, he mentioned it in this article. Well, you know, she was a kid, so he couldn't control
that.
Right,
yeah. I meant as an adult. Yeah, for sure.
The other thing that I was thinking of when we were doing the Jingle Fest, you know, that might not all exist without Carol because, you know, when PTI became a big hit, and I've heard this in several places, but, you know, there was a plan when PTI became such a big show to move the show to Los Angeles. Wilbon, of course, immediately said, yeah, well, I'm moving to Los Angeles. And apparently they had convinced Tony Kornheiser to move to Los Angeles, and that's where they were going to relocate the show. I'm thinking somebody told him he could play golf 365 days a year.
Mm.
The reason the show did not move to Los Angeles is because Carol said no. She was not moving to Los Angeles.
That's a big move.
Yeah, so I don't know if the little, there's still probably littles, but the way the Jingle Fest and all that, I don't know if that all exists without
Or it might be on the West Coast, not here.
Yeah.
So it's such an East Coast thing, though. I know he's got fans all over the country, but it's really East Coast thing. I mean, there wouldn't be like Cheesery, there wouldn't be Chatter, there wouldn't be, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You might
want
to run that by Bonnie just to make sure, but I'm sure I've heard
Oh, no, this
that.
Is all you saying it. I didn't say it, so I don't care.
Okay, well.
No, it's probably true. And we might have some littles might already know, and they might write in. Okay, real quick before we get to our fun dumb questions, why did you almost shut us off and never turn us back on?
Oh, okay. Well, this is one of your earlier shows, and I had just started watching because of, you know, like Chuck and Roxy, do they really exist? I mean, I don't know.
Right.
You know? And there were some funny stories on Tony's show. And then you had a comment where you basically refer to the fantastic great band Talking Heads as a one-hit wonder. And I said, okay. Do you recall this?
Sort of. Did I already get slammed
for
this, though?
Well, Talking Heads is not... They're one of the most influential great rock bands of all time. They came out of CBGB's in New York, and they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So,
okay.
They're not...
Chuck?
Not exactly I mean, one-hit wonder is like Katrina and the Waves walking on sunshine. They're here, they do a great song, and they're gone.
Right.
Talking Heads was most influential. And, you know, you can't measure groups by hits. I mean, the Ramones came out of CBGB's.
What do you mean you can't measure bands by hits? How do you measure them?
Well, for instance, like I was going to say, the Ramones never had a top 10 hit, but they were arguably the most influential band that came out of America in the 70s. I mean, they influenced everybody. They were, you know, they kind of invented punk rock, the whole thing in punk rock over in England. You could argue that later on the whole Seattle scene was due to them.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, Jimi Hendrix, the greatest guitarist, I don't think he had a top 10 hit.
Isn't Jimi Hendrix the one that said... Wasn't he? No, I don't think it was him, actually. I thought he was the one that was interviewed and said, "What's it like to be the greatest guitarist to ever live?" And he goes, "I don't know. You have to ask Prince."
Boy, are you confused. Oh, my goodness. You guys are so freaking young.
What? What are you talking about? No, seriously.
Jimi Hendrix died in 1970. You're thinking of Eric Clapton.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Tomato, tomato. No.
You know.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know the last time I've been called young? I'm loving this. Let's bring it on. Let's go back to the Talking Heads. What are three other songs?
Oh, Psycho Killer, Send Me an Angel. See, I liked all their really early stuff, which nobody listened to.
I'm just busting you because I got slammed for this. So for the record, you should have kept listening instead of shutting us off because you would have heard me getting slammed. And I read the emails on the air usually. So
well, the thing is, I couldn't remember. See, like I told you, I've done some of your early shows, but I haven't done fill-ins yet.
Right.
So I was wondering if someone took you to task. That's why I mentioned it
on
air.
Some. Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's not someone. It was the whole Littles community, I think. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. See, I missed all that.
Okay.
So I wasn't sure.
Right.
And I, you know, like I said, I'm still trying to backtrack.
Sure.
All these shows, there's so many of them. There's 3 years of this stuff.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here. And now you'll have your own Chuck and Roxy number, which is exciting.
But
first, you have to complete best questions in the world are fun, dumb questions.
All right.
Here we go.
Yep.
All right. What do you think is the greatest invention of all time?
Okay, this is going to be gym-centric.
Okay.
One, the bicycle.
Okay.
Okay.
Two, I'm with Mr. Tony, red zone footballs on Sunday.
Okay, I'm
my wife and daughter
here.
Know that from 1 o'clock on Sunday to the rest of the day, don't bother me
Leave
on
me
Sunday
alone.
In football season.
Gotcha. All right, what is your favorite childhood book?
Childhood book. I want to say Alice in Wonderland. But it's kind of funny because being, like I said, like a kid as a baseball fan, I remember when I was in elementary school, I picked up a book out of the library. It was a biography of Hank Aaron, and I loved it.
Mm.
It was just a book written for kids, but
yeah.
I still remember that book. And it's kind of funny how books, you know, just stick in your head. And I remember being thrilled reading about Henry Aaron. This was before he was, you know, the home run. This is,
right. We're
talking the early 60s. So he was just another player at that point, you know. I mean, he was a good player, but he wasn't the home run king, which
right.
he still is, of course.
Right. Gotcha. Roxy, have you ever answered that one? What is yours? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I love Alice in Wonderland, though. I read that every two or three years.
Oh, wait, I know.
I reread that.
What's yours?
I mean, all the Berenstain Bear collection.
Of course.
Books,
I love
that whole collection.
Okay. Yeah.
I loved Corduroy.
Yeah.
Corduroy was cute.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's
I don't
so
know
cute.
What it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's a little
Berenstain
bear.
Berenstain Bears I read to my daughter
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss, I always liked.
Dr. Seuss, yeah.
I guess the biggest book, though, probably Super Fudge, Judy Blume. That's one of my favorites. But anyway. All right, what's next, Roxy?
Where's the most beautiful place you've ever been?
That would be Lake George, New York.
Ooh.
Again, we're back in upstate New York. My dad bought a boat, and we were trying to figure out where to put it. We would go in the Mohawk River, Sacandaga Reservoir. Chuck, you would know back then it was called Sacandaga Reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
Then we just plunked a boat in Lake George, and we said, oh, my God, this place is fantastic.
Mm.
And then for, about 8 years, we camped. There's a place on the lake where it narrows, and there's all these islands. And you can, they're only accessible by boat, and it's a pain in the neck because you got to take all your stuff out there. You set up your tent and you're cooking, and you rough it out there. And we did that from the late 60s to the mid 70s. Actually, my sister still does that. She's like camping on those islands. And then my dad was able to buy a little bit of land on the lake way up north near Ticonderoga. And we built a house, and we had a house on Lake George for, from 1980 to my dad passed the early 2000s.
That's awesome.
That must have been amazing.
So we missed that. But my brother, my siblings, and I, every year since then, have in some way rented a house on the lake a week.
Nice.
You know? So we still have the connection. Like I said, my sister and her husband still have a boat on the lake.
Yeah, right. That's great.
It's just you know, you got to be a billionaire to get something on that lake these days. But it's just so beautiful. It's just wonderful. And our house was way at the northern end, which is much less. If you can get to the northern end of the lake,
it's not as touristy.
Really special.
Yeah.
It's not touristy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, that's
all right.
My favorite spot. Yeah.
What group of kids would you want to hang out with? The kids from E.T., Goonies, Stand By Me, The Sandlot, Stranger Things, or The Little Rascals? Now, weren't we supposed to add some in there?
Probably at some point.
Sorry, Littles.
Probably Stand By Me, simply because I'm have a morbid sense of morbid imagination. And they were going for a dead body. I mean,
right.
If I was a little kid and someone said there's a dead body that you can go see, it's like,
you'd be there.
Count me in.
Wow. Okay.
And
interesting.
I really like the movie, too. I love the song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The movie's great.
Yeah.
The E.T. kids would come in a close second. The others, I didn't even watch any of the other stuff.
Whoa. Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm 70. You know, a lot of stuff that's happened recently passes by me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I was a late bloomer, but I have to admit, Sandlot was pretty great. So not the sequel, but the first one.
Oh,
so
if you're into baseball,
I've never seen that.
Yeah,
it's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. So, all right, Roxy, some rapid fire.
All right, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars, but only 4, 5, and 6.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a great answer.
Yep.
I don't know, some of the new ones.
Some of the new ones are really good. I really liked Rogue One.
Matter of fact,
What
was the one we saw in Schenectady?
That was.
We saw it at the new movie theater right down the street from Proctor's in Schenectady.
Wasn't that The Force Awakens or was that Rogue One?
I have no idea. But it was.
That might have been Rogue One.
Might have been Rogue One, yeah.
The high point of the last three, which I admit they were pretty good, but the thing is, if you think about it, the high point of each of those movies was their references back to the first, four, five, and six.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when Han Solo and Chewie show up on the ship in episode, 4, 5, 6, the 7. That was knock your socks off, when they showed up and we're back on the ship, you know, we're back home, I think the line was. That was fantastic, you know. So I mixed feelings about the last three.
Okay, but the point is it's not Star Trek.
Right.
That's the point. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, pancakes or waffles?
Daughter's answer, pancakes.
Okay. All right. I Dream of Jeannie or Bewitched?
Bewitched. But as a side, if you think about it, these are really sick shows.
Yeah. I mean,
you have these, you have these beautiful, talented women who have magical powers where they could go and solve, you know, end wars, end poverty, do all types of wonderful things for mankind. And what do they want to do? They both want to be American housewives in suburban America.
Mm-hmm. Which is, good point.
I liked Elizabeth Montgomery. She was actually a pretty good actress. She did some other things.
Yeah, right. All right. Coke or Pepsi?
Mountain Dew.
Okay. Great.
That's a Pepsi product, just for the record,
Little. Since I've been listening to you guys.
Just for the record, that's a Pepsi product, right? I believe so.
I believe it is.
And it drives me crazy when I go into a place that only sells Coke, and I can't get my Mountain Dew. That's the only soda I drink. I don't know. It's terrible. It's all sugar. It's all caffeine. It's the worst thing in the world. But for some reason, it's the only soda I'll drink.
All right, put this in the back of your head. When you come back on eventually for 5 mediocre minutes, I want to hear all about Code Red. Not now. Well, we'll save it, okay?
No. I'm original Mountain Dew. Okay. I won't go anywhere. I'm just a one soda person.
Excellent. All right. And Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
Never not funny.
Excellent. All right, well, Jim, we can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. Now, is there anything we can plug for you, and how can everyone get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
No, I'm 70 and retired and not on social media at all.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
But I really enjoyed myself. It was a great
time. Oh, that's great. That's good. Great. And if, you know, if the littles want to reach out to you, they can
reach out to you
reach
through
out
us.
Yes. To us. Reach out to us.
I was at the Washington summer thing. Of course, I met you guys at Jingle Fest, and I was at the Summer of Littles here in Washington.
Excellent.
And so I connected with some of the littles. So
good.
That's, you know, emails as far as I go, though.
Yep.
Great.
Gotcha. All right. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Always over. I don't understand under people. It's a travesty. I think someone put their toilet paper in backwards and didn't realize it, and then it just became a thing. I don't understand it.
Okay. All right.
I'm 100% on board with you. So, all right, Good. Jim. Thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate the time.
Okay. You take, guys. Take care. Thanks a lot. I enjoyed it.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And thank you, Jim, for coming on to Meet the Littles. Always a good time. And that music, you know what that means, Roxy.
I do.
It's, well, actually, this is it. This is the last one. We have a winner. We're very excited. This is for the Loyal Littles Podcast Fantasy Football, the Guillotine League that we do.
Yeah.
This is not the Loyal Littles Fantasy Football stuff yet. Okay, that's still, the playoffs are still happening. But ours capped off this last week with Morty taking it all. Now, we did get to the bottom of this whole who is Mort thing. Now, we haven't met him yet, obviously, okay?
No.
But he did write into the podcast. His name is Mort Danziger. If I'm saying that wrong, it's your own fault. You should have came on to Meet the Littles already. I mean, you are the second annual winner of the Loyal Littles Podcast Fantasy Football League, after all. We're passing the torch down from Mr. Bill Isaacson down to you. And we heard, he says, hi, I'm Mort D of the Tillamookins in the Loyal Littles Podcast Fantasy Football League. Now, he put down number 7619, and people are saying, I need a number as I try to win this thing. Now, I didn't quite understand what that meant, but then it says, actually, I'm just thrilled to be in the final pairing. Heard you were asking for me on this week's very enjoyable podcast. We've been in touch in the past, maybe during COVID, but I guess I was a little reluctant about being interviewed. I do enjoy your show. I never heard that great Christmas song before. Wishing you both a happy Christmas and New Year. Mort Danziger, I hope I'm saying that right, episode TBD. So, congratulations, okay. Mort. That's all we can say. I mean, you survived the whole thing. So, we are looking very forward to meeting you. So, I will also have to get some information for you so we can get a prize out to you. Now, that might be a little delayed because of me being in Milwaukee. We'll see what we can do. But just wanted to say congratulations. I definitely shout out to Patrick Smith, Smitty Scoop, our runner-up for this year. And I don't want to bring up bad memories for him, but, you know, he was the first out last year. So
this is a big
difference.
Huge,
huge improvement. And he almost won the whole dang thing. He almost went from worst to first, but he came up a little short. But once again, congratulations, Mort, and we'll see if we can get the other results for the other. There's three divisions for the Loyal Littles Fantasy Football League, but
yeah,
this is always fun. You know, it's a good time, and you know, we'll hopefully get some more people in next year. Now, we have to start our emails, Roxy, but first of all, we have to start with this one. It says, Dear Choxy, first of all, let me get this out of the way. The nickname Sexy Sydney is redundant. Secondly, yes, it was Kahlua and eggnog I was drinking. Uh-oh, we have to talk about the eggnog, Roxy. My mom's drink of choice was a sombrero, which is Kahlua and milk. Since my mom died, every year on her birthday, I've tried to have one in her honor. But I've strayed. A bottle of Kahlua was always in her house, so that's the important ingredient. I found a cocktail called Revolver that is made with Kahlua, bourbon, and orange bitter that I like. So if I'm out somewhere on her birthday, I might order that instead of a sombrero. This year at home on her birthday, I had the eggnog and I used that with the Kahlua, making what I called the Navidad sombrero. It also reminds me of my mom because she always thought eggnog was too thick and would cut it by adding milk to thin it out a bit. So I think she'd approve of my substitution. Finally, I will add that I think there is a big difference between store-bought eggnog, which is best prepared with dry Christmas cookies, and the adults-only eggnog cocktails you might get at a bar this time of year. Don't judge all eggnog based on your first taste test. Like all drinks, professional mixology makes for a huge upgrade. Thanks again for the surprise edition during the Friday Five questions. I really love the tangents the conversation took. Oh, yeah. Did we mention that Chris Saliza was on our podcast recently with the great Jason Lockenfora? That was one heck of an episode, I have to say. And then he just says, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Eric, episode 4, The Phantom Menace. I love that. Now, so Roxy, we should just come clean to the audience. We didn't do the eggnog again. Now, I'm
forgot.
Because I spent money on this eggnog about 3 weeks ago, and it says it's still good. We never opened it. So
should I try it now?
I mean, you could. I was going to say, I was just going to remind you to throw it out because, you know, because if it's still there when I get back, it's not going to be any good. But I mean,
no, right.
Roxy, if you want to go to the fridge and get one while I read the next email, I mean, we could do that. I mean, that's up to you.
I mean,
I don't know. It is store bought.
Try it.
It is store bought. So maybe it might not be that good. Also, make sure it's good. Like, sniff it. I don't know.
Ew.
I mean, the expiration date says like January something, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's up to you. I'm going to read the next one. You go get a cocktail if you want. We have Kahlua too, right?
We do have Kahlua. Maybe I should try the concoction.
All right. What I would do is I would go get the eggnog, pour like a quarter of a glass, take a sip, see how you like it. And then if it's not so good, pour the Kahlua in, and then it'll probably be good.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on.
Okay. I'm going to read the next email. We heard from Kevin Maroney, episode 270. He says, Merry Christmas. I assume it's too late, but just in case, 42nd Street, Dames at Sea, and White Christmas. Now, a lot of our listeners probably don't even know what the hell that is. Kevin already knows this. I wrote back to him and said, congratulations, you are our winner. This was Roxy's other contest. Okay. And I'll get back to that when she gets back on the microphone. Also, Bradford kids from Eight is Enough. David, Mary, Joni, Susan, Nancy, Elizabeth, Tommy, Nicholas. That's amazing. Number 9, if they had another, would have been Rudolph, I think. That's perfect. Happy holidays and happy new year to all. Kevin Maroney, episode 270. All right, Roxy, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, all right. So now I know you were away for this, but just so you know, didn't know if you heard, we had a winner for your contest. Guess the characters, your 8 reindeer names.
Right.
Who was it? Peggy and Billy. And then who's?
Peggy, Billy, Ruby, and Dick.
Right,
and
Ruby.
Then it was.
Third one was White Christmas.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Great. So you got the eggnog?
I do.
All right.
I poured like just enough for a sip.
Oh, okay. I was like, did you smell it?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it's supposed to smell like, but it does say good through January 22nd, 2024.
Oh, okay. We should be good. We should be all right.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I also feel like if it smelled really bad, you'd know. So, and like we said,
Am I supposed to swirl it?
I don't know. Sure. Swirl it a little bit. See what happens. I've never had eggnog in my life. You're asking the wrong person.
I know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Swirl it. Here we go.
I'm
a little jealous
up.
That you're doing this without me. Okay.
Cheers, littles. Interesting.
Okay. What does that mean?
It's not bad.
It's not bad? Okay. Is it just like, is like milkshakey? It's not that thick, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's thicker, not like a milkshake thick, but it's thicker than milk. And I would say honestly, it reminds me of cake batter.
Oh.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like that consistency.
Okay. That would be good. Well, that's what.
That consistency, that texture, but not necessarily, obviously not necessarily the flavor.
Right. Well, that's what Eric's email was saying, how his mom would put milk in it to cut it, you know, to like make it not so thick. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
well,
not
take,
bad.
Let that settle in for a second. You have a bunch of emails to read, right? Read your first email. Then maybe while I'm reading my next one, you can, you know, throw some Kahlua in there and then we'll do another taste test.
Okay. We heard from Mike Wolf, episode TBD. He says, Dear Choxy, first off, the bonus Christmas episode was a delight, especially since it included an email from me that I forgot I wrote. And it also included a discussion of my previous episode's email. Speaking of which, well, if you weren't a fan of the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, then maybe the Christmas special might not be for you. But it included 2 terrific songs that you can watch on YouTube. One of them is sung by Kevin Bacon. Of course it is. Hope you had a lovely Christmas. Mike Wolf, episode TBD.
Okay, now just for the record, I did watch that. Now the first clip, I hate it. Well, I won't say hate. Hate's a strong word. But I will say the one with the Kevin Bacon thing was just so goofy. I'm like, what's happening right now? So, and it had that, I feel bad. I keep calling it a rodent. I don't mean to be calling it a rodent. I don't know what it is. Is it a fox? Is it a, I don't know what it is. Do you know what that character is?
No idea.
Okay. I don't know if it's a wolf, a fox, or I don't know. But anyway, so that was cute. So thank you, Mike. Okay. What's your next one?
Next, we heard from Tim Cree, episode 107. Shoxi, my brother-in-law and his wife named their daughter Jovi after the character in Elf. It's a pretty cool name, actually. I agree.
Yeah, that is a good name. It's different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right, Roxy, put some clue in, and I'm going to read the next one. Dear Chuck and Roxy, first let me state, I am not a fan of Marvel Cash Generator Universe. Never have been. However, back in 2014, the woman to whom I am related by marriage and I drove to Chicago to see our feminine child and to meet her boyfriend. The boyfriend was a big fan of video games, Star Wars, etc., and the two of them decided that a great activity for the day would for all of us to go see Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D. As loving and supportive parents, especially with our oldest child and only daughter is concerned, we swallowed hard and said, sure, we would love to. Choxie, I am here to tell you, it was one of the funniest movies I have ever seen. Chris Pratt is such an unlikely hero. The 1970s rock music score was awesome, and other characters have that sort of Puma and Timon relationship. That's the Lion King reference, Chuck. I knew. He's like, you have seen Lion King, right? Yes. I have not seen another Marvel movie, but that one is a winner. And my daughter and that boyfriend will be married 5 years on Star Wars Day 2024, May the 4th. Rick 252, Franzosa, Cincinnati. Now, I mean, you mean Chuck's birthday. That's what he meant to say, right? Yeah. That's what
he meant to say.
That's the real honor there, Rick. So maybe Rick didn't know that my birthday, unfortunately, is on Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
All right, so what else do we have to dissect? So which movie did they see that he loved? Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D. Is that the one we watched? I don't even know which one we started watching. I really don't.
We started watching the first Guardians of the Galaxy. That's okay. Honestly the only one I knew of. I didn't realize there were multiples. So I'm pretty sure we just started with the first one.
Okay. All right, what's next, Roxy? Wait, did you pour the Kahlua?
So because I only had maybe half an inch of eggnog in my glass.
Now you're doing shots of Kahlua.
I just added a splash of Kahlua.
Okay.
I said, that seems about right. All right, let me try it.
A splash.
Ooh, even better.
Okay. Now see, here's the bad part is when I get home, you're not going to be able to buy eggnog. Remember I tried it last year, at the end of mid-January.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
it's only seasonal.
Yeah, so many people were talking, how have you never had eggnog? Tiny Chuck was one of them. He was like, how have you never had eggnog? Yeah, unfortunately.
Littles, can I freeze it for Chuck? Is that a thing? Can you freeze dairy?
No, I don't think I'd even want to do that. No, I don't think I would drink it after we defrosted it, to be honest. But Nope, I'll wait till next year. I'll go to the supermarket across the street here in Milwaukee.
Get
and
a
I'll see
small
if,
one.
I'll see if, they, well, I'll see if they have it, first of all. But it is still before the new year, so maybe. So.
Yeah.
All right, Roxy, which one do you have next?
All right, this is from Mo Warner, episode 86. He said, Chuck and Roxy, thanks for the holiday card. And regards to MCU, Guardians of the Galaxy was definitely not a good place to start watching. I'd start with either Captain America, the chronologically first of the MCU movies, or Captain Marvel, which is sort of an Avengers origin story. Iron Man and Thor are also decent entry points if you had to pick one. But regardless of where you start, you will always have loose ends that will be explained in other films. The whole point was to tie the stories together, like in the comics, so that you'd want to consume it all. Some stand alone better than others. It becomes a huge but enjoyable time commitment, not just with all the movies, but now the Disney Plus series like Loki and WandaVision. Happy New Year, Mo, episode 86.
Okay, now I forgot we watched WandaVision, and that was okay.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, it was
I guess.
I
don't know.
I liked it more than you did.
Yeah. No, I liked WandaVision. It was okay. I didn't quite get I liked the nostalgia and stuff, but that was about it. But
I think we would enjoy Captain America and Thor and maybe Iron Man because we kind of are already familiar with those characters.
Right. Okay. And I wanted to do this quick. I goofed. Howie Stoopsie Stoops wrote us an email last episode 199. The last of the hundreds, you know. And I left out there was a PS, okay? And it says, I'll get you out of here on this. What do you call a reef made of $100 bills?
A money tree?
No, Roxy. Aretha Franklin's.
Aretha
Franklin's. See? Yep. See what he did there?
I get it.
And I felt bad because it was the perfect for our holiday episode and I goofed and I left it out. But still the holidays. So, all right. You got one more, right?
I have one more. This is from Brian Muller, episode 167. Hey, Chuck and Roxy. Smart move bringing on Saliza again. One step closer to a future Little Chuck or Roxy attending the Loomis Chafee School for the Rich. Also, hearing your love for cheese brings me back to wanting to cook you a proper steak. Amy makes an amazing blue cheese sauce we serve over steak, medium rare, of course. Lastly, not sure if you noticed on the Christmas card, but my oldest daughter named her dog Gary. I guess that's a whole thing now. Happy holidays, Brian Mueller, episode 167. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I guess maybe more people are naming their dogs like just normal people, I guess.
I mean, I think it's really fun to give normal human names to pets. My sheep last year, her name was Monica. So that's funny.
Oh, right.
So, yeah,
right.
Gary the dog.
Yeah. Well, and Roxy, there's one more thing. Now we're going to go to the big show content. We have to get Apple TV back, apparently. Have you heard of this thing called Slow Horses? It's on Apple TV?
No.
Okay. I hadn't either. Never heard of it. Everybody that's talking to Tony is like, you have to see it. Now, the one thing I will say, because Tony still doesn't have Apple TV, of course, some listener offered to buy it for them, though. Didn't Bob Sproul send us a gift card once for that? He was like,
he
here.
Did. Yep.
Well, I think it was because we won one of those contests that he does. And he sent, though, a gift card for like, you know, $10 or something, whatever, to get a trial, a month trial, you know, of Apple TV so we could watch Ted Lasso.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, this is called Slow Horses. Never heard of it. Everybody is raving about it. I will say this, though, because he doesn't have Apple TV, Nigel suggested, I was so excited, he suggested, since he did have Netflix, that he start Ozark. And I highly, highly agree with him. So anyway, Roxy, that's all the time we have. It's been another great year. We hope everyone has a wonderful new year. We will be back hopefully shortly after. We'll talk about our New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. But I did want to say I did get to Milwaukee safely, obviously. We've told stories. It's a little cray-cray right now, okay? So I'm going to take us back to about a year and a half ago when I was doing the first rendition of Cheek to Cheek. And we were turning out episodes just random days. And Littles, unfortunately, I think that's what this is going to have to be because it's a little crazy right now. I'm not sure how often, when we're going to get them out. It will probably be like on Sundays or Thursdays or whenever we can. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to be able to stick to the Tuesday, Saturday format like we have, unless, of course, the big show drops one. But we just want to thank you in advance for your patience. We will get as many episodes out as we still can. And we just appreciate you still listening and all that stuff. And we highly encourage you to take some time and catch up if you've had to skip some episodes. You know, it's funny. One of our biggest, not that we get a lot of negative feedback, but I wouldn't even say it's negative feedback, but the one major feedback that we kind of get leaning that is that we do too many episodes. They're like, we just don't have time. And, you know, and I get that. I do.
We're like a machine, Little.
We try to
crank them on out.
We try to be. And we hope the content's good and the quality's good. Yeah, and I know you're, I tried to figure this out a little bit with the sound quality. It's a little still not right where I want it to be, but I think it's gotten a little better. Hopefully you agree. So just bear with us and thank you for everything you've done this past year as all these years. And we'll just keep cranking them out and hopefully we just don't know when. So just be patient. When, you know, as Tony says, when it drops, it drops. When it drops, you hit play. But, you know, I don't know. I like the other Littles. I like to have a schedule and I like to know and I can count on it, you know, Tuesday morning or Saturday morning, whenever. But just with my schedule and Roxy's finishing up, it's just going to be a lot harder already. I can tell because this job out here in Milwaukee is very time consuming for me. Our rehearsals are from 2 to 10 every day. So by the time I get done with rehearsal, Roxy's going to be in bed. And so we're going to do as much as we can in the mornings, but if we can't, then it's going to be hard to produce content and get, you know, meet the Littles guests and all that stuff. But we appreciate you. Thank you again, Jim Bankert, for coming on to meet the Littles today. And thank you, John Fitzpatrick, once again for our jingle this episode. And real quickly, thank you, Jolene Wojcik, episode 40, and Sean Morrissey, episode 37, for our bumpers this episode. That's way back when we did bumpers, but no one said their names or anything. And of course, Sean is just the master of those voices. He does
the
all
impressions.
Those, he does the impressions, but he also just does so many voices. It's great. And Roxy, tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
You can hop on over to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
And don't forget to sign our guest book while you're there. We haven't had anyone do that in a while.
Please
you know,
do that.
Roxy, we did have some new reviews over on Apple and iTunes, though. So we really appreciate that. Yeah, those are great. They help. please give us a rating over there and drop a comment. It really does help. Just as our good friend Adam Ferrara says, you know, tell 842 of your friends and hopefully they'll tell 842 of their friends. And, you know, and his wife always goes, that always helps with Mr. Logarithm. And so I love that. So I love listening to your podcast too. Roxy, have a great Roxy Fest today.
Thank you. And have a great mini Chuck Fest.
I'm going to have some pancakes. I wonder if he I don't think he realizes. I'm more of a waffles person, but he says these pancakes are great. So I'm actually a little, I could go either way.
Okay.
So, but I like me some good pancakes too once in a while. So I'm looking forward to that. But Littles, everyone, please be safe. Have a very, very happy new year. And we will see you in 2024. I can't believe we're saying that, Roxy. It's amazing.
Wow.
So anyway. Wow. Thank you as always for everything. And don't forget, if you are out shopping online tonight,
don't forget to
use the code, people.
Bye.
Oh, brother.
I'll be there when you go gliding by. I'll be there, though I don't know why. I'll be there, honey, even though you've done me wrong. I'll be there when those nights are cold, draping your shoulder like some old make stole. I'll be there, honey, even though you've done me wrong. Done me wrong, giving me the eye. Kissed my cheek and then you said goodbye. Brushed me off like an old horse fly. Don't give me no reason, but still I try. I'll be there nipping at your heels. I'll be there with a love that's real. I'll be there, honey, even though you've done me wrong.
Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.